Walt Disney Pictures presents, in association with Allied Filmmakers, James and the Giant Peach. Brightly coloured insects drawn on a black background. A Denise Donovi production, a Henry Selick film based on the book by Roald Dahl. With Miriam Margolyes as Aunt Sponge and Joanna Lumley as Aunt Spiker. Pete Postlethwaite as the storyteller. And introducing Paul Terry as James. A young boy on a sandy beach throws pebbles into the water.
This is James Henry Trotter.
Behind him, a twinkling lighthouse.
He lived with his mother and father in a cozy little house by the sea.
Hey, I've got you!
Happy birthday, darling. Now quickly, blow them out before the wind does.
I'll make a wish first.
James closes his eyes. He blows out all seven candles.
It was a wonderful life. They had each other, and they had their dreams.
Look! That cloud looks like a camel. And that one over there looks like a train engine.
And can you see the tallest building in the world?
Lying on the sand between his parents, James looks up at a fluffy cloud and shakes his head.
I can't find it. Try looking at it another way.
He sits up, turns his head, and sees the Empire State Building on its side.
I see it!
That's where we're going. On a great ship that will take us across the ocean. And we'll go right to the top of that building. The three of us. On top of the world.
Are there any kids there like me?
His dad shows him another picture.
Hundreds of them. That's a wonderful place, James. A city where dreams come true.
Then, one day, a terrible thing happened.
The sky darkens, flashes of lightning.
An angry rhinoceros appeared out of nowhere and gobbled up his poor mother and father. Their troubles, if they had any at all, were over in 35 seconds flat.
A rhinoceros thunders out of the billowing clouds.
But James's troubles were just beginning. For now, he lives here with Aunt Sponge.
Get up, you lazy little bug!
And Aunt Spiker.
Already wasted 4 minutes, daylight.
Look at him!
Lollygagging in dreamland when there's so much work to do.
Weeds to pull, wood to chop. Work, 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 work!
James pushes a barrow piled high with rubbish out of a dark house along a stony path. The house stands in a gloomy landscape, with just one tree growing out of the hillside. James turns the ratchet of an outside well. He polishes the chrome insignia of his aunt's old car. Arms above his head, he feeds out the washing line, parading his aunt's petticoats. He whitewashes a wrought iron chair. He dusts. He gathers up bits of broken glass, his face covered in grime. He splits some wood. A white butterfly lands on a garden table, where the aunts in sun hats are preening themselves, drinking lemonade. A fly swat lands on the butterfly. Spiker surveys her victim.
You wouldn't want one of those nesting in your knickers.
Chubby Sponge admires herself in her mirror.
Look and smell. I do declare, as lovely as a rose, just feast your eyes upon my face.
Observe my shapely nose. Behold my heavenly silky locks.
And if I take off both my socks, you'll see my dainty toes.
But don't forget, my dearest Sponge, how much your tummy shows.
His T-shirt grimy, James longingly eyes his map book of New York. He peers into the distance at the grey sea.
You lazy bug! Who told you to stop working?
I finished the wood.
Spiker snatches his booklet.
A travel book? How dare you even dream of leaving?
This is the only home you'll ever have.
No one else would tolerate a worthless little nothing like you.
Where did you get this? Where?
Father gave it to me. He said we'd go there one day.
Stupid, foolish man. Foolish man, always dreaming. That's what got him killed.
And your mother.
Had his head in the clouds instead of looking where he was going.
He never even saw that rhino coming.
that rhino.
And the beast will get you too, if you don't behave.
I'll get these stupid dreams out of your head and get back to work.
The pieces of cards scatter in the wind among falling autumn leaves. A full moon glows in the night sky. Sponge and Spiker are having dinner.
Careful, Spongy. Wouldn't want to ruin that girlish figure.
Oh, shut up.
Both grotesquely made up and wearing sequined gowns.
Yes?
I finished all of the chores.
What a coincidence. We finished all the dinner.
Oh, Sponge, you're such a tease. There's something special waiting for you in the oven.
James reaches up to the oven and brings out a tray of fish heads. He gasps.
Oh, do let me guess. They're not good enough for him.
What do you think this is, Buckingham Palace?
He sees a crisp packet in the bin.
Get out of our sight!
He grabs
it. Go on!
Sponge, glass in hand, watches him go. He comes into his cell-like room and sits on his hard bed. He shakes out the last of the crisps onto his hand. He tears open the bag to lick up the very last crumbs. He looks up at the barred window in front of him. He climbs up and grins at a furry black and white spider weaving its web.
Hello there. Where did you come from? You know, you probably shouldn't build your web up here in the window. Spiker and Sponge might see you, and they hate spiders.
He climbs down from the window.
I'll be your friend, though.
My name is James. That's what Mother called me. My name is James. So it's always been. Sometimes I forget. When I'm lonely, you're afraid. Then I'll go inside my head and look for James.
Here's something I've never shown anyone.
A candle holder from his seventh birthday cake. Puts the spider back onto the window. He's drawn the Empire State Building on the crisp paper and folded it over the candle from his cape to make a glowing lantern. He lets it float out of his window into the dark night.
Good night. Pleasant dreams.
He closes the shutter on his window. James runs off with the spider. Sponge sprays the room and tumbles downstairs, colliding with him. The spider has landed on Sponge's forehead. James grabs it and runs off. A spiker swats Sponge's face.
You hit me in the face.
You hit me in the face. Oh, don't shut up.
Barefoot and in his nightshirt, James scampers away from the tumble-down house. He kneels down and lets the spider crawl away to safety.
Go on, get out of here. Get as far away from this place as you possibly can. Oh, I wish I could.
What's stopping you? Oh, don't be frightened, James. I mean you no harm.
James stares at the strange man.
How do you know my name?
I know more than just your name.
The man leaps down from a stone wall.
What would you say if I were to tell you that the answer to all your troubles is right here? Inside this little bag.
Hey, that's my...
Of course it is. Go on, James. Have a look.
He peers into the lantern bag.
There's more magic in them things than in all the rest of the world put together.
But what are they?
Crocodile tongues.
Tongues?
1,000 long, slimy crocodile tongues boiled in the skull of a dead witch for 20 days and 20 nights. Add the fingers of a young monkey, the gizzard of a pig, the beak of a parrot, and 3 spoonfuls of sugar. Stew for a week and then let the moon...
One eye goes milky.
Do the rest. Have them. And marvellous things will happen. Things even you never dreamt of.
Like what?
Well, like... You'll never be miserable again. And you are miserable, aren't you, James? You weren't meant to be, you know. And that place you're dreaming of, it's not as far away as you think.
The mysterious man points to a hole in the stone wall. James looks through at the distant horizon.
New York City!
And it'll be that much closer once you take the first step.
But how? This doesn't make any sense.
Not up here, it doesn't.
He points to his head.
The answers are in here.
James's heart.
The magic is in here.
The lantern.
So, James, what'll it be?
James's scratched face frowns as he ponders. With his beady eyes, the stranger watches him intently. James grabs the bag.
Now listen to me, James. Don't let them get away, because if they do, they'll work their magic on whoever or whatever they meet first. Understand?
James nods. In a whoosh of shining dust, the man vanishes.
What's going on out here?
Clutching his paper parcel with both hands, he rushes up towards the lone tree. He trips. Hundreds of wriggly, day-glow green crocodile tongues spill out of the bag. They leap about as he tries to catch them, but they embed themselves in the ground.
Here he is.
Eat up, you little worm. We sent you out here to kill a spider.
Not to laze about.
I wasn't lazing about. I tripped.
How dare you disagree with us?
Beat him, Sponge.
Scrawny Spiker grabs hold of James. Sponge sighs.
It's too early. Well, that makes you the luckiest boy alive. Now come inside and get dressed.
She pulls him by the scruff of his neck. Sponge yawns.
Spiker, look, a peach.
A what?
A peach! There, on that branch.
Why, that old tree's never had so much as a blossom on it, let alone a... Well, I'll be blowed. There really is a peach there. A nice big one, too.
They totter towards it.
How can we get it?
They look at one another.
The boy. Now you be a good little boy and climb up there and get that peach for your dear aunties.
Can we eat it?
Of course we can. We'll share it. Me and your Aunt Spiker. Start climbing.
Wait.
What?
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 It's growing.
The boy.
No, the peach, you idiot.
The peach is swelling up like a balloon.
Oh, come down!
But I won't get hurt.
I'm down! What a peach! What a peach! Look, Spider! It's still growing!
I'm not blind, you dolt! I can see it myself!
Oh!
Let it go! It's a miracle! My heavens! My...
The fully grown peach stands as high as a house, dwarfing the two ugly sisters and the small boy in his nightshirt. They gape open-mouthed at the colossal piece of fruit.
happen. Just like he said.
Shut up, you little grub. This has nothing to do with you, so just keep away from it.
Oh, can you smell that, Spiky? It smells delicious.
She opens her mouth.
It smells like money.
They grin horribly at each other. A billboard has been nailed up. With a tear rolling down his cheek, James watches from his window.
No peeking at the beat! Have your money ready, ladies and gentlemen!
Here you go. Can we touch it?
Touch it? You want to touch it?
She'll be wanting to taste it next.
Admission refused. This child has too many cheeky ideas.
Go away!
Quite right! Oh, sponge.
A photographer.
They pose, grinning like hyenas.
And another.
A second pose.
Move on
in. No cameras allowed. No dawdle. Come along, ladies and gentlemen.
Sorry, Father, it'll cost you double.
May God forgive you.
Thank you, Father.
Come along, children. That's the charm of the day.
Later on, they're counting their takings.
Yoo-hoo! Come down here.
Yes, Auntie Sponge?
Oh, you're all spiffed up.
I was hoping to play with the children.
Oh, the children have gone. But you can play with their garbage.
Garbage.
Spiker hands him a wooden spike. Mm.
And don't even think of going near our peach.
Because if you do, remember they never did catch that rhino.
Sponge pops a chocolate into her jowly mouth. Outside, it's dark as James spears sweet wrappers onto his spike and drops them into a basket on his back. He finds his empty lantern bag with the drawing of the Empire State Building. He opens it up, and it glows green as one last crocodile tongue leaps out, scampering ahead of him along the path. The green tongue has dived into the peach. James peers up at the great fruity mass in front of him and sniffs deeply. With both hands, he scoops out a piece of juicy peach flesh and slowly takes a bite. The crocodile tongue reappears, jumps onto the piece James is eating, and wriggles inside it. James, eyes shut, his chin running with peach juice, hasn't noticed. His eye glows strangely. Behind him, a hole appears in the side of the giant peach, like the entrance to a spaceship. James turns towards it, drops the basket, and bends down to look inside the hole. Takes a deep breath and starts to crawl his way up inside, bathed in a strange light. The hole in the side of the peach closes behind him as his feet disappear. On all fours, he climbs up a narrow staircase. Amid a sprinkling of magic dust, his head starts to grow. His body changes shape.
Here now, where do you think you're going, Yark?
I'm going stir-crazy. I gotta take a look around. Plan our escape from Spiker and Sponge.
Escape? To where? We'll all be squashed, smothered, smooshed.
No one's going to smoosh you, my dear boy. You're 6 feet long now.
Bigger target.
Let the biddies come. I'll take them both on. I'm indefeatable. I'm indivisible. I'm in trouble!
James tumbles into the center of the peach.
Spiker and Sponge, they found us!
Hello!
No, it's the lad from the house. What's his name?
Miserable Tick.
I thought it was Rotten Little Grub.
No, that's what those horrible ants call him.
His real name is, well, it's James.
What you've done now, miss? Scared him to death.
Please, don't eat me!
Eat you?
Hey, lower! Turn up your lights!
She does.
I'm a vegetarian.
I eat dirt.
No one will be eating you, James.
Yeah, she'll just puncture your head and suck out the brain.
That I'm saving for you.
Oh, pretty fast, long legs.
Spider hisses at Centipede.
Such rude behavior.
There's no need to be frightened, dearie.
But you're enormous bugs.
Fascinating, isn't it?
We've all changed. And so have you, James.
Ladybug holds up a mirror.
The old man, the one who gave me the green things. He said marvellous things will happen.
Did he say marvellous pigs in satin?
No, dear lady. Marvellous things will happen.
Poor Glowworm. She's a little deaf.
I, however, have exquisite hearing.
Yeah? Well, listen to this. Let's get out of here!
You mean leave the hill? I can't. The rhino will get me.
Rhino?
Earthworm dived for cover.
I say, dear boy, I've lived on this miserable hill for decades. There are no rhinoceri here.
Except for Sponge. She's twice as big as a rhino, eh, kid?
Twice as dangerous. My life hangs by a thread every day.
I've had to send all 300 of my children to safer pastures.
Ha! You think hiding in solid rock is fun?
I can't even remember what fun is.
Well, it's just because you've been stuck here too long. Listen to me, kid. I know a place that'll refresh your memory.
Bright lights, big city, that's where we gotta go. Where the food is great and the bugs are so pretty. I'd like to get my arms around 100 or so. I'd hug them, squeeze them, hold them tight. Sleep all day, dance all night. I want the bright lights and the big city. That's the life for me, yeah. That's the life for me.
You little maggot, have you never seen the moon gliding across the western sky? A dead oak tree by the waterside. Putrid vapors rising.
Ladybug replies.
That sounds lovely, dear. I'm sure we all agree. But I prefer the sunshine. A little park right in the centre of the town. Flowers everywhere, children all around me. I'd love it, landing on a baby's cheek so warm. It's wonderful, wonderful. That's the life for me.
Grasshopper takes up the song.
Elegant conversation.
Bright lights, big city.
An elevated point of view.
That's where I go.
Intellectual stimulation.
Maybe for you.
And someone you love to share it with you.
The giant insects dance on top of a sundial.
It would be wonderful, wonderful. That's the life for me.
Make a pest of myself.
Centipede scampers up a ladder.
Look at this place. Still filthy.
Where are you?
Ah!
Not you.
Me. You better not be near Aunt Pete. Oh, please, don't let them spray us.
Spray us? They'll say they yank up there and come after us with a shovel. It happened to my brother.
How awful.
Split him right down the middle. Now I have two half-brothers.
Shh. Hear us.
Centipede pops his head out of the peach.
Yoo-hoo. Where are you, boy?
I think I hear a rhino out here.
Centipede, with his flat cap and cigar, eyes a branch.
This'll be a snap.
Spiker and Sponge approach, carrying lanterns.
I really do hear something.
Above their heads, Centipede is gnawing away at the peach tree branch. The women turn towards the sound. Inside the peach.
What's that? Fasten your seatbelts, kids!
The women's mouths gape in horror. They leap into their car as the peach starts rolling towards it.
Starts eating its junk.
Spiker's foot pumps the accelerator. The giant peach rolls over the car, sending the insects inside flying. It rolls on along the rocky path down the side of the hill. Spiker and Sponge peer out of the roof of their battered car. The peach lumbers through a dark stone village towards an old stone church. Past two children sitting under a holy statue. It bounces over the church, landing on the other side. the golden fruit rolls towards a brightly coloured rooster perched on a wooden fence. Inside the giant peach, James and the insects hang on for dear life. The enormous peach, now with a halo of bristles, which up close are more like a walkway of wooden planks. Spiker and Sponge watch with fury as the bristly ball tumbles down the cliff face into the sea. Inside the peach, the insects pick themselves up.
Ow! Somebody pinched me!
Sorry, I thought you were the spider.
Ouch! What was that?
Excuse, I thought you were the centipede.
A glowworm. How about some light?
I can't hear you, dear. I'll have to put my light on.
This is so unladybug-like.
Don't worry. I'll have you right side up in no time.
Thank you, James. Where are you going?
To see where he's landing.
The doll-like James opens up the hatch and looks up into a bright blue sky. He climbs out and gazes out to sea. All around them is choppy blue water with white gulls circling above. James climbs onto the peach stalk to get a better look. Ladybug emerges.
Oh, my aching back.
Followed by Earthworm.
Oh.
And Grasshopper.
Fascinating, isn't it?
What? What's fascinating? Tell me, don't leave me dangling.
We are in the middle of the, how do you say, the big puddle.
Biggest puddle of them all, Angel Fangs. The Atlantic Ocean.
Technically, the Pacific is larger.
Well, that goes without saying.
But there is land in sight.
Nothing but blue skies and clear waters.
This is all your fault.
Hey, wasn't for me, we'd all be spiked and sponged by now.
This old man with his green things, did he happen to speak to where we are going?
No. All he said was the answers would be right here.
He reaches into his breast pocket.
My travel book. And look, it's the page. We're going to New York City!
Centipede spins his cigar.
New York? They love me there!
Wonderful! They've got a whole park full of leaves for you, Miss Ladybug.
Central Park!
And loads of dark hiding places.
Nightclubs!
And museums and concerts.
Not to mention Yankee Stadium.
Well, what about me?
Why, they've got miles and miles of underground tunnels.
The subway!
My father says it's the place where dreams come true.
That's the life for me.
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 That's the life.
That's the life. That's the life. That's the life for me.
New York it is, then. Now, how do we get there?
I'll get us there.
You?
Sure. I sailed all the five seas. From the sun-drenched reefs of Bora Bora to the icy shores of Tripoli.
Ooh.
Commodore Centipede, they used to call me.
Seven.
Huh?
There are seven seas, and Tripoli is in the subtropics. Commodore.
Trim the sails!
There are no sails.
Stoke the engine!
There are no engines.
I can't work with this miserable crew.
Great! We're stuck here until we shrivel up and die.
Highly improbable.
That's a relief.
We're far more likely to drown.
James looks up at the gulls floating above them.
I know! Wicked! No, it's a stupid idea.
Compared to what?
Hey!
Well, we could fly out.
He's right. It's stupid.
How would you do it, James?
With those seagulls. But we'll need string.
Oh, well, I'll just go to the stationers and pick up some paperclips while I'm at it.
I have string. Miles of string.
And we'll need bait. Bird bait.
Bird bait? Where do you expect we're going to find bird bait? Out here in the middle of the... Oh, no. Oh, no. Have you lost your minds? Ah! They've lost their minds. Anything but birds.
Don't worry. I'm right here. Now wiggle.
No.
But they won't come if you don't wiggle.
Exactly. And you can't make me.
Oh, yeah?
Centipede tickles Earthworm.
Oh, hey, don't bear. Mockingbirds munched me mother.
Help me. Here comes the first one. Get ready to pull down there.
My sisters were swallowed by swallows.
a seagull swoops towards the earthworm bait. James lassoes it with one of Miss Spider's threads.
It worked! I got one!
Shh! I hear teeth. Great, big, gnashing teeth!
Sounds like a rhinoceros!
In the ocean? Scientifically impossible.
I hear something too.
It's a school of tuna. They're being sucked into some sort of machine.
What do you mean?
Take a look.
James looks through Grasshopper's monocle. A metallic monster surges up from the deep.
It's a giant shark!
The black-finned creature, spewing fish heads and smoke, starts moving towards the peach.
Seems to have spotted us. What do we do? What do we do?
The seagulls! It's our only chance!
We'll take the whole flock and then some. We'll never do it in time.
We'll use Miss Spider's web, Bonnet. Hurry!
Miss Spider gathers up her web like a pile of washing.
Throw it here, dearie!
Ladybug throws it to James. He looks up at the circling gulls.
Wiggle, Mr. Earthworm! Our lives depend on it!
I can't! I'm all wiggled out!
Centipede grabs the worm.
Let me help you.
And whirls him round like a lasso.
Get your face on, Queenie!
As the birds swarm towards them, Earthworm dives for cover. And James hurls the web over the flock of gulls.
I've got him! Hand me the loot!
Shake a leg, Bill. Keep your pants on. I've only got 12 hands.
They tie the spider's threads to the peach branch.
It's getting closer!
As the metal shark bears down on them, the masked gulls take to the air, pulling the giant peach out of the water. The shark vessel opens its mouth and sends a harpoon skimming across the water towards them, plunging its jagged arrow into the side of the peach.
Oh no!
Oh dear!
The peach jerks to a halt, toppling Centipede over the side. He clings to the harpoon wire. The shark sends another snapping missile. James turns the peach stalk out of its path. But the missile snaps some of the strings, letting five gulls go. James leaps on Grasshopper's back, and they soar up into the sky, snatching the escaping strings. As they float back down, the shark sends out more deadly snappers. Ladybug to the rescue, propelling herself skyward and beating off the attackers with her handbag.
Degenerates!
James lands safely on the peach and ties the threads back with the others.
Come on, Beagle!
Put your backs into it!
Shake your blooming tail feathers!
The shark starts pulling in its wire and Centipede with
it.
Inside the peach, Miss Spider picks up a hammer. Centipede loses his grip and slides down the wire. Spider bashes at the embedded arrow. Centipede hangs on with his antennae inches away from the shark's deadly fangs. With a final bash, Spider sends the harpoon flying out of the peach. Centipede grabs the wooden platform. The wire flies back into the teeth of the shark, throwing up sparks. And the shark machine explodes in a ball of fire.
Hey! Teach you to mess with me, you overgrown sardine! I'm from Brooklyn!
Pure twaddle. Every bug on board displayed extraordinary courage. Why, did you see Miss Ladybug risk life and wing to bash those brutes on the snoot?
Well, they were being very rude. I can't abide rudeness.
We are all forgetting something. Everything we did was part of the brilliant plan of James.
It really did work, didn't it?
I say three cheers for James. Hip hip.
Hooray!
Hip hip.
Hooray!
Hip hip.
Hooray!
New York!
Centipede spits on his many fingers.
Here we come!
He spins the peach branch rudder round, and the golden peach, pulled by its flotilla of white gulls, soars into the sky like a giant balloon, high above the deep blue sea. Earthworm, in his sunglasses, wriggles up the pathway round the outside of the peach and bumps into James.
Whoever you are, keep away from me! Keep away!
Earthworm, it's me!
They both fall over.
Oh, James. Oh, thank goodness.
You mustn't frighten yourself like this all the time.
Why not?
You'll make yourself sick. When I had a problem, my mum and dad would tell me to look at it another way.
How? first I was bird bait, then I was shark bait.
I suppose.
Or you could say you gave us wings to fly and defeated a giant shark single-handedly.
No-handedly.
Exactly. You're a hero.
I am. I'm Wonder Worm.
You are.
In a dreamy haze, the peach balloon floats through a wonderland of fluffy clouds, some of them teapot-shaped. Centipede, cigar in mouth, is at the helm.
One, food, food.
Three of his hands rub his hollow stomach. He pulls himself up to his full height and slumps down again.
Are you sure you know where we're going? I don't see how you can navigate without a compass.
He sees Grasshopper as a bottle of wine and a piece of cheese.
It's very hot up here. I'm roasted.
Earthworm becomes a hot dog. He sees one of the gulls above him as a headless roasted chicken. His tongue hangs out of his wide mouth. He starts to pull in the bird and goes to bite off its head.
What happened, that bird?
Ah!
But I'm dying of hunger.
Oh, perhaps I have a bit of soda bread in here. Some water.
She searches in her handbag.
Not much, but it's...
Not so fast.
Hey! No!
I need this food. I have a much higher metabolism.
Fight me!
What?
Have you gone mad?
Let go of it, Grant.
Let go of my coat.
Give this to me.
Oh, my lower thorax.
I'll rip you apart.
Again, it's mine.
The small piece of bread falls to the platform below and is gone.
Now
look what you've done.
We're going to starve, waste away. And not quickly. No, no. That'll be the easy way out. We'll linger. Slowly. Miserably. Painfully.
Nobody's going to starve.
The fighting stops.
Don't you see? We have enough food here for 5 voyages.
Food? Where?
Really, food.
What are you talking about?
A whole ship is made of food.
Oh, such a clever little boy.
Centipede gulps some peach.
Take that to me.
After you, there is nothing left to take.
Delectable.
Better than aphids.
Better than ladybugs.
What?
Excuse.
It's not dirt. But it's not bad.
Not bad? It's the best thing I've ever tasted. And I have tasted a lot.
Centipede leaps into the peach, and one by one the others follow. James scuttles down a stepladder with an armful of peach.
I've eaten many strange and scrumptious dishes in my time, like chili bugs and curried slugs and earwigs cooked in slime. And mice with rice is very nice when they're roasted in their prime. But don't forget to sprinkle them with just a pinch of grime.
He flicks ash onto the peach flesh. In a chef's hat, he spins it round, shaping it with two knives into a tree of peach slices.
Crazy about mosquitoes on a piece of buttered toast, and pickled spines of porcupines, and then a great big roast. And dragon's flesh, quite old, not fresh, it costs a bucket most.
Does it come with gravy?
It comes to you in barrels if you order it by post.
James and some of the insects dance round an upturned vat laid with a Union Jack cloth. A huge wadge of peach drops down from the ceiling and rolls along a network of ladders. They catch it in the vat turned the right way up.
For dinner on my birthday, shall I tell you what I chose? Hot noodles made of poodles on a slice of garden hose. And a rather smelly jelly made of armadillo's toes. The jelly is delicious, but you have to hold your nose.
The long-legged grasshopper dances in the peach flesh, turning it into juice, and Ladybug supplies the beer mugs.
I drink the tasty tentacles of octopi for tea. I like hot dogs, but I love hot dogs, and surely you'll agree. A plate of soil with engine oil's a super recipe.
Recipe.
I hardly need to mention that it's practically free.
Ladybug spins round with her beer mug of peach juice. Grasshopper stops her from falling.
We hardly need to mention that it's practically free.
Centipede with a peach boulder on his back.
Now comes my fellow travellers, the burden of my speech.
You show off.
These foods are rare beyond compare, and some right out of reach.
Nice aim, Commodore.
But there's no doubt I'd go without a million plates of each.
Out of my face.
For one small mite.
One small mite.
One tiny bite.
Tiny bite of this fantastic meal.
This spider is swept away in a landslide of peach flesh, while the others throw peach balls at each other. Miss Spider aims one up at Centipede. The others do the same, bringing him crashing down next to them. A half moon shines out of a dark sky. Centipede is asleep at the helm. Below him, in the sculpted chambers of the peach balloon, Grasshopper lies sprawled on a jar of Earl Grey tea. Below him, Ladybug is flat on her back and still clutching her mug. Next to her, Earthworm's long-ringed body rises and falls in his sleep. In a corner, James is sitting with Miss Spider on her web.
You keep yourself, don't you?
I prefer to be alone.
I was alone for a long time once. I think it's much nicer to have friends, don't you?
I would not know.
They would be your friends too. The others, I mean. If you just let them.
No. It is in their nature to have fear of me. This I cannot change.
You're very kind to me.
Maybe this is because you are kind to me first.
You were the spider in my window.
Mm-hmm.
You were my first friend. I mean, since I went to live with my aunts. They hated me.
Shh, do not think of them now.
But what if they find us? What if we don't make it to New York? I'll die if I have to go back to the way I was. They can't make me.
Nobody can make you do anything, James. If you do not let them, you are a brave boy. Now to sleep. You have had a very tired making day.
She has spun a blanket for his feet. With a kiss on his cheek, she leaves him, blowing out the candle at the entrance to her tunnel. James, with his jacket laid across him, smiles gratefully and yawns, gazing up at the moon as it floats past the hole in the peach's ceiling, leaving darkness behind it. A kaleidoscope of leaves opens out onto a dream. A caterpillar with a James-like head bites into a peach. The rosy-cheeked face looks up in horror at the sound of an engine. A grey cut-out car appears on a stone bridge.
Little maggot stuffing his face with our peach. Get him, Sponge.
Cutouts of Spiker and Sponge.
Crawl away from us!
The James creature leaps into the peach. Sponge sends insect spray spewing black clouds, blanketing everything in its path. The James bug scurries across the top of a grey stone wall, with the black smoke nearly at his heels, down along the branch of a tree. Through an old soup can, into the entrance of a cave. The boy caterpillar watches in horror as the fiery eyes of the rhino peer out of the smoke with a crash of thunder. Tiny gold sparks float through the darkness, turning white as they land on the sleeping, doll-like James. He wakes with a start and looks up to see Glowworm shivering. He climbs up onto the outside of the peach to find it coated with snow in a landscape of jagged ice mountains. He shivers. Above him, the gulls, their frozen wings barely able to flap.
This is an outrage! You are a disgrace to your phylum, class, order, genus, and species!
Say it in English!
You, sir, are an ass!
Where are we? What's going on?
I found this dime-store Timmy asleep at the helm. Now we're lost!
We are not lost!
Then where are we?
Somewhere north! Or possibly very, very far south.
What's your latitude? What's your longitude?
Hey, hey, hey! That's personal, bub.
You said you could navigate.
You said you traveled the world.
You said you'd been to Bora Bora.
Well, not Bora Bora per se.
What about the shores of Tripoli?
Did I say Tripoli? I meant the halls of Montezuma.
That's what you said.
Never have I heard such mendacity.
Charlatan!
Wait! If he says he's seen the world, then he's seen the world. Right, Mr. Centipede? Right?
Well, I did used to live between two pages of the National Geographic.
Huh?
Very informative magazine, the National Geographic. Wonderful pictures.
You incompetent, blithering nitwit.
All right, Hoppy, them striking words. Put 'em up! Put 'em up! Come on! Give me a best shot!
Grasshopper sends him flying.
Good shot! Did you see what he did to me?
Serves you right.
What do we do now?
Which way do we go?
Oh, it's simple, really. All we need to do is determine our coordinates, then use triangulation to chart a direct route to New York.
Then there's hope.
Don't be ridiculous. There's no hope at all. We don't have a compass.
We'll never reach New York. We're going to be stuck here forever. We're going to be frozen like living statues.
Dead living statues.
No dark hiding places.
No cozy leaf in the park.
No city where dreams come true.
Centipede crumples in shame.
Don't ships have compasses?
No doubt, but to brave those icy waters would mean certain death.
Ooh. Only a fool would do it.
Geronimo!
What? What was that?
The centipede jumped in!
Good heavens! He's committed pesticide! Oh, this is all my doing.
Don't take all the credit. I helped too.
I have to go after him.
Not on your life. You'll catch a death of cold.
But he's my friend.
James is right. Centipede is one of us. Get on my back. I am going with you.
You would better take good care of him.
This I promise.
Stay by the line, and when you feel two tugs, pull us up.
With James on her back, Miss Spider follows Centipede through the hole in the ice into the freezing waters below. She swims through the blue darkness, past the wreckage of an old sailing ship and its two gaping figureheads of Spiker and Sponge. A menacing skull and crossbones peers sightlessly at them from the flag on the mast of the wrecked vessel. Far below, Centipede ambles across the deck and through the door of the captain's cabin.
A skeleton?
He approaches the figure bent over its desk, a skeleton wearing a sea captain's hat. Centipede blows away some ice particles.
Jackpot! A genuine compass! Sounds like you need a little oil, Captain. Thank you, sir! I'll be shoving off now!
Taking the compass from the bony arms of the skeleton, he turns to go, but is pulled back by his braces. The skeleton has perked up.
I should have worn a belt!
Four monsters appear.
Holy shipwreck!
Centipede is pulled back towards the grinning skeleton in a carpet of bubbles. A few feet above the ship, Miss Spider lashes a rope to a timber. James watches aghast as Centipede is laid on a rack with a compass on his belly.
Listen, fellas, I got a long history of back problems, and I don't need it to get any longer!
The pirate captain grabs back his compass. Two of the pirate ghosts tighten the winch.
Hey, that one felt pretty good.
A monster with an axe looms over him.
It's Paul Bunyan, coming to cut me some slack.
Whoa! Hey, pal, you're aiming a little low.
He's gonna cut me in half!
James slides down the mast and kicks the monster through the rigging.
Hey, sailors!
Miss Spider sends them flying. Centipede falls through a grill to a lower deck.
Cut me loose!
As James bends to pick up the axe, the skeleton captain comes at him with the glowing compass and drops it.
Get the compass!
Spider scampers after it and grabs it before it rolls off the boat.
I've got it!
An Eskimo monster charges Miss Spider with his spear. He somersaults and sends her spinning off like a top. The compass is batted about between the pirate skeletons. James catches it, but a bony bird flutters off with it. Centipede sends the bird flying. A skeleton duck tries to smash into Miss Spider and James with its leg.
Sounds like big trouble.
Get ready to pull.
James and Miss Spider clamber up the mast rigging with the monsters in pursuit.
I got a good one for you. Why don't skeletons play music in church? Because they got no organs.
As Centipede winches his friends up to safety, the pirate captain leaps up and Centipede is somersaulted back down. Miss Spider and James can only watch as he battles alone with the ghost pirates. James and Miss Spider are pulled out of the hole in the ice.
Oh, thank goodness! You're all right!
What happened to Centipede?
He found the compass for us.
And a shipload of pirates!
Horses, I am going back.
Do be careful, Miss Spider!
Miss Spider watches in horror as the familiar cloth cap emerges from the icy water. She sheds a tear as she turns to the others.
Poor Centipede.
We saved our lives down there.
A black shape...
Look out! Miss Spider!
...rises from the ice, waving a sword.
Centipede!
How am I looking, kid?
Centipede, I do not know whether to kill you or kiss you.
Centipede blushes. Grasshopper winches them up.
Say, I'm sorry.
My sincere apologies.
I just want to apologize.
I just wanted to say...
What I'm trying to say...
That's enough, chit-chat! I'm freezing!
Hello? The compass is ready.
Mr. Centipede, Would you please do us the honor of navigating us out of this icebox?
It would be my pleasure.
I believe our position puts us very close
to magnetic... I admire your bravery, Miss Spider. I really do.
Why, thank you, Mrs. Ladybug.
All right, boys. Coffee break's over.
He jerks the seagulls' ropes and their wings flap into motion. He steers the branch round.
I'm looking forward to a hopping good time in the Big Apple, Mr. Centipede.
You said it, Mr. Grasshopper.
The giant peach floats out of the frozen landscape. It's a starry night, and Centipede is at the helm.
Oh, boy, what I wouldn't do for a cup of coffee.
He leans on the tiller. He slaps his cheeks.
Cup of joe.
The peach door opens.
I say, Ellsport, came to relieve you of your duties.
Said I'd steer the peach. Have to steer the peach.
Can't quit now.
Good show, boy.
Grasshopper pushes a deck chair, with Centipede already fast asleep in it, to the other side of the peach.
Mr. Grasshopper.
And lays a blanket over him. Below them, on the wooden platform, James looks out at the sea, and then at his map book, following the peach's path across the Atlantic. He sees the peach reflected in the water, then looks up at the sound of a violin. Puzzled, he gets up, pushing the map book into his back pocket, and wanders up the wooden pathway. To find Centipede asleep in the chair, with Grasshopper playing his fiddle, his long legs steering the helm.
That music!
Oh, Sir James, did I disturb you? So sorry. I'll put this away.
No, no. I like it. I used to hear it at my aunt's house before I went to sleep. That was you, wasn't it? Or do all grasshoppers play music?
All grasshoppers cry. I'm sure you've heard this.
Lying on his back, he rubs his legs together in a scissor action.
Ghastly, isn't it? Cricket stuff.
Music should be the voice of the soul.
What does that mean?
It means that when I'm happy, my music sounds like this.
He extends his long legs and hops about as he plays his violin.
And when I'm sad, it's like this.
When I was sad, I used to climb in bed with my mum and dad. But that was a long time ago.
He wipes away a tear.
I'm sure they'd be very proud of you, James. I know we are.
With the moon close enough to touch, the waistcoated insect hops up onto the tiller. Ladybug and Earthworm stir. Miss Spider looks on kindly, and Glowworm peers through her lorgnette.
Take a little time. Just look at where we are. We've come very, very far together. And if I might say so.
And if I might say so too. We wouldn't have got anywhere if it weren't for you, boy.
Love is the sweetest thing.
Love never comes just when you think it will.
Love is the way we feel for you.
We're family.
We're family. We're family.
All of us.
And you.
Grasshopper acknowledges the gulls, and the stardust takes the shape of two acrobats flying through the air.
Think of where we'd be if we were on our own.
We'd be dead.
We are what holds us all together.
Oh, yeah?
And if I might say so.
And if we might say so too.
We never could love anyone as much as
we love you.
Glowworm appears.
Love.
It's the strangest thing.
Love
does exactly what it wants to do.
Love.
Boy, you know it's true.
We're family. We're family. We're family.
Me,
and you.
Ashes to dust.
Without you, there'd be no us. Love is the sweetest thing. Love does exactly what it wants to do.
As the peach whirls round, it becomes the centre of a baby's mobile, made up of planets, a fob watch, and clouds. James reaches for the small peach, and it disappears in a burst of stardust.
Me and you.
The stripy spider in her beret and centipede, cigar in mouth, dance off together, lost in each other's eyes.
We'll always be together, won't we?
Kid, you're stuck with us for life.
James, wearing Centipede's cap, looks through a hole in the clouds.
Look, everybody! We made it!
Dead?
New York City!
Breathtaking! Stunning!
Oh, how glorious!
Look at the park!
It's fabulous!
We have made it!
What a wonderful sight!
There's Lady Liberty!
I can almost smell the lovely dirt!
Is it not beautiful?
The Empire State Building.
See those lights? Wahoo! Yippee! Atta boy, Jimmy!
Good show, James. The city awaits us.
Now remember, James, first impression is very important.
She goes to straighten his tie as a big fluffy mass of cloud surges towards them, blackening the sky and throwing up a gale. Everything on the peach goes flying, including the compass that hurtles away through the clouds.
We're blown off course!
We'll wind up in Jersey!
They turn to see two fiery eyes peering out of the oncoming clouds.
Could it be?
Oh, couldn't be!
It's the Rhino!
James, do something!
They all do as they are told.
James, are you not coming with us?
No! It got my mum and dad! It won't get my friend! Come out and show your face, you stupid beast!
Breathing flashes of lightning through his horn, the rhino thunders towards James.
Good God Almighty!
James, try looking at it another way.
You're not even a real rhino. You're just a lot of smoke and noise. I'm not afraid of you.
The dark creature comes closer to the angry boy, who stands defiantly on the platform of the peach. One last crack of lightning, the rhino starts tumbling out of the sky, tearing the wooden platform away from the side of the peach. Desperately, James throws himself at the peach stalk, breaking the threads which keep the peach afloat. It plummets to earth, followed by the wooden platform, and James, all arms and legs, falls from the sky. A red light flashes off and on across James's sleeping face. As he coughs, a green crocodile tongue jumps out of his mouth. The doll-like James wakes and rubs his eyes. In a shimmer of magic dust, he becomes James the real boy. Touching his face with both hands in bewilderment, he starts to climb the peach stairway.
Miss Spider? Mr. Grasshopper? Hello? Is anyone there?
He pops his head out of the hatch and above him sees a flashing beacon. He grabs a few cords still attached to the tiller and ties them around his waist. On all fours, he crawls to the edge of the peach. Below him, the twinkling lights of New York City. He stands up and gazes down at the sea of neon-lit high-rise buildings. Frowning, he consults his map book and looks around him. His frown deepens.
Where's the Empire State Building?
The peach has landed on the very top of the Empire State Building, towering above the rest of the city. A milkman in white crosses a street below with his early morning delivery. The peach, impaled on the pointed radio mast at the top of the skyscraper, starts to leak its juice. A woman walking her dog is drenched. A policeman biting into an apple is soaked. He looks up and sees something orange and pink at the top of the Empire State Building.
Officer! There's a boy up there!
A girl with a telescope.
What? A boy?
The cop runs over to a police phone.
Mabel, we got us a huge unidentified object here.
What's it look like?
Round, fuzzy, looks sort of like a giant fruit or something.
Well, what is it?
I don't know what it is! Just send us the biggest crane in New York!
An enormous vehicle rumbles past people staring out of their windows. Floodlights are beamed up towards the beach. A giant crane moves in towards James. He waves his map.
Please, sir! How do I get to the Empire State Building?
You're on top of it, kid!
We made it!
James's happy grin fades into a sad frown.
Well, I made it.
Below him, a crowd has gathered to watch the boy and Peach being lowered to the ground.
Hang on!
Have you seen any big bugs tonight?
Big bugs? How big?
A police car with full headlamps on careers onto the scene.
I hope they're all right.
James and his rescuer descend towards a waiting wooden platform. Photographers point their flash guns at the descending Peach. People watch in amazement. Firemen produce a ladder. A woman bystander sighs with relief as one of the officers climbs up to the top of the Peach.
Don't worry, kid. You'll be all right.
Come on, sonny. Don't be afraid now. I got you.
James is carried carefully down the ladder towards a barrage of photographers and reporters.
Where are you from?
Why are you here?
Ooh.
What?
Where?
Where?
Just flying, fellas. He's just a kid for Pete's sake. Here.
The kindly cop bends down to James.
It's okay, little guy. Nobody's gonna hurt you.
James and the cop turn towards the sound of the oncoming car. Battered and steaming, the vehicle makes its way through the crowd. With a final hiss of steam, it shudders to a halt. James watches with mounting trepidation. The doors open and gallons of water pour out, followed by a hideously drenched and slimy Aunt Sponge. And an equally monstrous Aunt Spiker. Smiling gruesomely, they pick their way towards James. Sponge shakes off a crab attached to her hand.
Hello, little angel.
So kind of you to look after our little lost lamb.
Who are you?
We are the boy's legal guardians.
We've missed him so much.
So we'll just take him home now.
And the peach, of course, taking that as well.
Wait a minute. Back up. You mean to tell me that this thing is a peach?
It's not our peach. It's our peach.
Our peach.
Show him, Spongy.
James hides behind the cop. Sponge pulls a crumpled photograph from her enormous bosom, showing her and Spiker posing in front of the peach at home.
Looks like it's their peach, all right.
Yeah. Yes, and we're very proud of it.
We're going to be in the record books.
It's not their peach. The old man gave the green things to me. That's what made it grow.
Disagree with us?
Patience, sister. Remember his condition.
His condition?
A chronic liar.
Sad, really. He needs his treatment.
Well, that's why we're here, to bring him home. So you come here with us, hey, lovey?
James dodges away.
I'm not the one who's lying. They are.
As you can see, officer, it is urgent that you release him to us immediately.
Let the boy speak!
A shadowy figure is hidden in a haze of blue smoke. Spiker and Sponge glare.
All right. Let's get to the bottom of this.
This thing is a peach. All right, I'll buy that. Now, does somebody want to tell me how it got here?
We attached it to 100 seagulls.
Seagulls?
That's what happened. And they Miss Spider and the centipede and the old green grasshopper.
I think he's gone mad!
This is all something he dreamed up.
Defiantly, James stands up on a car bonnet.
Maybe it started that way, as a dream.
But doesn't everything?
Those buildings, these lights, this whole city. Somebody had to dream about it first, and maybe that's what I did. I dreamed about coming here, but then I did it.
The poor boy needs his medicine.
Yes.
So we'll just take him.
And the peach.
Back to our cozy little house on the hill. Come along. You're going home with us.
No, I'm not.
Spiker's neck cracks.
What did you say?
I said, no, I'm not. I hate that house and that cold room, and Hal's always hungry.
All right, that's enough.
And how you beat me?
He's lying!
And tell me I was nothing!
Shut up!
Shut up! No, not this time. I flew in a giant peach across the ocean. I landed on top of the tallest building in the world. I made it! I'm not the one who's nothing, you are! And I'm never going back with you! Not me, and not the peach!
How dare you speak to us this way!
The ants threaten him with fireman's axes. James backs away. The policeman blows his whistle. Glow of green light, James's insect friends float down onto the peach. Spiker and Sponge gape in terror.
Miss Spider, throw me a string!
She does. James lassoes his aunts together and the insects hoist them up. Grasshopper extends an elegant leg and spins them round.
Got them tightly!
As Miss Spider spins her web tighter around them, the ants' wigs fly off their two almost bald grey heads.
Tighten! Tighten!
Till they're wrapped up like a huge grey chrysalis.
Oh, I'll be here. The kid was telling the truth.
Get those two cranes out of here!
The crane operator pulls his lever and winches the Sponge Spiker bundle away. James climbs the ladder halfway up the peach as reporters dive for their phones.
Stop the presses, I got a new front page. Big bugs in the Big Apple.
In big bold print, a little Lindy flies giant peach.
Half my hero and his peach hit half.
Everyone, these are my friends. Earthworm, Mrs. Ladybug, Miss Spider, and the glowworm.
God bless the colonies. Weep for me a peach.
It won't keep forever.
Go ahead.
Children swarm towards the peach. Others throw confetti from their windows, showering everyone below. People stuff peach flesh into their mouths. A little black boy in the crowd.
Hey, what was your name?
James and Centipede wave to the crowd from the ladder.
They ate that peach all the way down to the pit and set it up in Central Park as a permanent home. And James Henry Trotter, who once was the saddest and loneliest little boy you could find, now had a loving new family. And all the friends in the world.
James, dinner is ready.
All right, nearly finished. And then the seagulls.
And since James's visitors begged him again and again to hear the story of his adventure with the giant peach, he wished for a way to share it with everyone. And that is exactly
what you have just seen.
The mysterious storyteller catches a green crocodile's tongue in the palm of his hand and gives us a big wink. Newspaper headlines spin into view. Centipede enters race for New York's next mayor. Grasshopper debut, phenomenal four-handed fiddling, 20-minute ovation. Earthworm, smooth move, signs on as skin cream spokesman. Dr. Ladybug delivers 1,000th baby. Spider Club opens, jazz, dinner and dancing. Glowworm shines New York's new nightlight at the top of Statue of Liberty. Family celebration. Surprise party delights James. 9 candles flicker on his birthday cake.
Boy, you may not know it, but this here's salvation, you see. Son, you're going down in history.
The audio description was written and produced by Veronica Hicks and read by Richard Mitchley.